Mother's Day, Mommy. We love you.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Mommy.
I love Mom when she cooks dinner.
Because Mom takes me to an ice cream store.
Yes, and Mommy.
Because Mommy takes me to get pumpkin bread at Starbucks.
We love you because you cook really well.
Because she gives me kisses.
That she takes care of me and I love her.
Our favorite thing about our mom is when she reads to us.
My favorite thing about Mommy is that she tucks me in at night.
My favorite thing about Mom is that she helps me with my schoolwork and she's fun to play with.
My favorite thing about Mommy is to do art with her.
My favorite thing about Mom, I love her super much.
My favorite thing about Mom is that she'll always take care of me when I'm hurt.
My favorite thing about my mom is how she takes care of me.
My favorite thing about my mom is that she's loving, caring, kind, and she's always there with me.
She's kind and loving.
My mom, well, she's just the best. She's super kind, fun, and all that stuff.
One of my favorite things about my mom is she always puts others first.
Mommy, I love your laugh, and I love your smile.
One of my favorite things about my mom is she always cares for us through these times and she never gives up.
I love you, Mom.
All right, what's your favorite thing about Mom?
Her. Just Mom. Just Mom.
Well, how about that video? I love that video. It's totally sentimental. And I don't know about you, what it's like for you, for those of you that are parents, but it's my experience that as those kids get older, they get a whole lot less gracious in their commentary about Mom and Dad. But I love that. It is Mother's Day, and we are so glad that wherever you are, you're worshiping with us. Clearly, we're still in a virtual platform. One of these days, hopefully sooner than later, we hope to be back here. And until that time, we are so grateful that on this Mother's Day, you've chosen to worship with us. I want to start with a question. I want to ask you a very simple question, but I hope you'll think about it. Maybe you can hit pause and talk about it even. I don't know, but here's the question. Who's the most heroic person in your life? The most heroic person. When you look back on your life of all the people you've encountered, family, friends, strangers, relatives, who's the most heroic person in your life? I can tell you real simple. The most heroic person in my life is my mom. There is no doubt about it. And I know immediately you're going, he's got to say that. It's Mother's Day. He's got no choice to say that. In fact, he's probably saying that because his mom is watching and he's obligated because everybody's watching online. Not true. I can tell you this. My mom is not watching online. I know that because my mom is incapable of getting on the internet or the internets, as she likes to call it. She refuses to engage in technology. I have tried dozens of tutorials. I've driven to Louisiana to try to coach her up myself, get her a computer, get her an iPad, get her all of the accoutrements to get online. She just won't do it. I don't tell you my mom is my hero because she's hip and happening, because she's not. We tried to FaceTime her last night to tell her that I would be preaching about her this Mother's Day. And the kid said, hey, let's FaceTime Susu. So we tried to FaceTime her. She answered it, but the screen was totally black. At which point my daughter said, hey, Dad, tell her to take the phone away from her ear. Even though we had FaceTime, she had the phone up here. She just didn't understand it. Then she tried to take it off and it was zooming all around the house. I said, well, time out. I said, Susu, the kids want to see you. Just send us a selfie. Which she responded to me. She said, I can't send you a selfie. There's nobody here to take it. And I thought, then it's not a selfie. You do that yourself. I'm telling you, the point is she is so far removed from anything hip and happening, but she's my hero. She's not my hero because we have a perfect relationship. We don't. She is not my hero because she's done something that deserves to be in a Hollywood script, like Save Me from Drowning. She's my hero because she's sacrificial. Who's the most heroic person in your life? And why would you say they are heroic? Is it because they did some grand story? They saved you from drowning, right? With super strength, they swept in and stopped you from grave danger. Now, some of you may have those stories, but my hunch is most of you don't. My hunch is if I ask you who is the most heroic person in your life, you would tell me, if you thought about it for a while, the same thing. You'd tell me about somebody that has simply been sacrificial. Because this is what I know to be true about heroes. The main ingredient of being a hero is sacrifice. It is not super strength. It is not any kind of supernatural giftedness that nobody else on the planet Earth has. It is not X-ray vision. It is not a golden lasso. It is not an invisible plane. Now, the main ingredient of being a hero, even a superhero, is real simple. The capacity to sacrifice. That's why my mom's my hero. When I was about 8 years old, my father packed up and moved to Colorado. He walked away from his ministry. He walked away from his wife. He walked away from his children. And I say that not disparaging, because he and I had a terrific relationship later in life. We were able to reconcile all of those demons. But when I was young, he literally packed up and left. And what he left behind was a single mom with no college degree, no career, no job, and no money, but three kids. I had an older brother and I had an older sister. So my mom went back to school. The local church reached out to us and asked my mom how they could help, and they funded her college education. So she went back to school. She got a temporary teaching certificate, and immediately while she was in school, began to teach reading in a local high school, all so she could provide for us. She was sacrificial. Every single morning, she had to leave so early to get to school. She left well before I even woke up. I had to walk to kindergarten. And when I woke up, there were no adults in my house. I had a high school age sister and a high school age brother. They were wonderful to me, and they took great care of me. But there were no adults. My mom was gone. And every day before I walked out the back door to walk to school, there was my breakfast. And my mom, before she left for work, 6, 6:15, 6:30 in the morning, every day without exception, prepared for me a home-cooked breakfast. Two fried eggs, always, some kind of meat, ham, sausage, maybe some bacon, and always a side of either oatmeal or grits. Every single day. That's sacrificial. Now, mind you, I had no idea she was being sacrificial. In fact, I was a little cantankerous because the breakfast was so cold. In fact, most days I would scrape it in the trash or maybe even give it to the dog, and then I would just fix my own bowl of cereal. It never occurred to me how sacrificial my mom was being, not until much later in life when I had my own free time in the morning. And now I reflect back on what it was like to give up that part of time to provide for her son, to provide for me, how sacrificial that was. And it wasn't just in the morning, it was at night too, I now know. My mom would read to me those great children's books, Little Red Riding Hood and Where the Wild Things Are. I love that one. She'd spend about 10 minutes reading to me about monsters. And then she'd have to take about 10 minutes to talk me off the ledge, and she'd tell me that monsters weren't real, because that's what moms do. My mom was extraordinarily sacrificial. I think about all that she gave up. See, what my mom did was she did what she had to do so that I could do what I want to do. She did what she had to do so I could play soccer. She did what she had to do so I could go to school. She did what she had to do so I could have sleepovers and slumber parties and birthday parties. My mom was always doing what she had to do so that I could do what I want to do. Why? That's sacrificial. See, what makes up the content of a hero has nothing to do with supernatural strength. It's simply the willingness to sacrifice. And I think about dating. My mom clearly had to give up dating. She had to give up hobbies. She had to give up exercise. She had to give up rest. She had to give up her own hopes and dreams. She had to give up her own career that she wanted in order to do for me so that I could do what I wanted to do in life. And that's always been true. And so that's why my mom is my hero. And my hunch is that'd be the same for you. Maybe if not your mother, someone else in your life. But it wouldn't be because they had super strength. It'd be because they were sacrificial. And a mom's job is never done. You know the drill. They're on the clock 24 hours a day. My own sweet wife, Ashley, she has picked up the mantle from where my mother left off with us. And now she is the same way with our children. She's sacrificial. My youngest son does not yet have his license. He will soon, praise God. But until that time, Ashley does all the driving. He goes to school about 9 miles away. Now, I understand that's a first world problem. We're very blessed with his education. But she drives him out there in the morning and then comes back home. And then has to go get him in the afternoon and then bring him back. And heaven forbid that one day where he forgets an assignment, so she has to make that trip three times, or that day that he has a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment. And if you just do the math, I've done the calculations. By the time my son gets his license, Ashley will have spent almost two solid years of her life in the car driving him around. That's what moms do. That's sacrificial. That's why my mom is my hero. So who is the most heroic person in your life? What's been the most heroic thing that anyone's ever done for you? I would contend that it wasn't something worthy of a Hollywood script, but it was the amalgam. It was the addition of all those tiny, what seemed at the time to be mundane expressions of sacrifice. That one friend who just refused to give up on you. That one person who gave you their time, even though they had no margin in their own calendar. That one person who sacrificed a portion of their career so that yours could advance. These are the people that you would call heroes. That one person who gave you a resource when you were nothing but a big risk. That one friend who put their career on hold to help you with your education. Those are heroes. And they're heroes for no other reason than they're sacrificial. Think about the people we call heroes today. Is it not the truck drivers and the delivery folks that are in the face of danger with this pandemic? Is it not the grocers and the people that work at the grocery store and the checkout clerks and the doctors and the nurses who are sacrificial? We look on the news and we want to lift them up as heroes. Why? Not because they have super strength, but because they're willing to sacrifice. And there's another definition, I think, for sacrifice, because that's what heroes do, and this is it. You give up something you love for something you love more. In my case, my mom did what she had to do so I could do what I wanted to do, but heroes, along those same lines, they give up something they really love for something they love more. That's what makes up a hero. And guess what? Jesus agrees. Listen to what Jesus said, John 15:13, greater love, there is no other version of love greater than the following expression, than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is talking about sacrifice. Jesus is saying the greatest expression of love is for one to give up their life, to give up something they really love for something that perhaps they love more. That's what heroism is about. And that's why we have days like Mother's Day. We're called to lift up and to celebrate and to acknowledge and to honor those who have been sacrificial. And that's why we have this holiday, as we reflect on ways that our moms, even though they weren't always hip and happening, even though sometimes we went afoul, even though sometimes they were not that great to us, no matter what your story is, there were some moments in your life, your mom's life, when she was sacrificial. You know, when it comes to our worship of God, worship of God has always been founded in, guess what? Sacrifice. You look in the Old Testament, that's how they worship God. They took something that they really loved and they gave it up for something they loved more. In fact, they took the best of what they had to give to the one that they loved the most. They would take a lamb or a sheep or a goat and they would slaughter it. And at that time, it had such great value. But they gave it up. They knew that sin was costly, and they knew the road to redemption went through something called sacrifice. And then we get to the New Testament, and really it doesn't change, although the actors change. But in the New Testament, wouldn't it be true that God gave the best of what he had for those that he loved the most? Wouldn't it be true what John says in the third chapter, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. He gave up something he loved for something he loved more, all of creation. You see the same pattern here. And then we get further in the New Testament and we find Jesus himself. And I want to park here just for a few minutes in our time together on this Mother's Day to talk about this passage because it is so meaningful to me and it is so powerful. And we find it in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And what you're going to discover if you're willing to spend some time with this passage is a moment where Jesus is talking to his disciples about sacrifice. And Jesus had just had this kind of epiphany moment with his disciples where they realized kind of once and for all who it is they're dealing with. Let me read to you the account in the 16th chapter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." No, Jesus said, whoa, not everybody else, not what's the word on the street. I want to know what you say. What about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter, ever courageous and bold, steps in. He answers, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And in that moment, if you think about it, what Simon Peter is confessing is that you, Lord, you, Jesus of Nazareth, you're our hero. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one that is worthy of a Hollywood script because of all that you have done and all the miracles. You are our hero. To which Jesus replies, "Blessed are you." Ding, ding, ding. You got it right, Peter. "Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And Jesus affirms what Peter has deduced, that he is in fact their hero. And he says, "Not only am I your hero, but I'm telling you, I am such a strong hero that we're gonna build this thing called the church, and the gates of hell won't even be able to touch it. Nothing will be able to touch our movement." And you can only imagine how excited Peter was to get the answer right and say, "You know what? I knew it. You are our hero. You're the one we've been waiting for." But look what happens. Jesus wants to give them a lesson about what it means to be a hero. So while he acknowledges that Peter gets the answer right, that he is in fact the hero, so strong and mighty that not even the gates of hell can touch what they're trying to do. But listen to what Jesus says next. From that time on, from the moment they realize that Jesus of Nazareth is their hero, from that time on, Jesus shifts gears. He began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Whoa, heroes are not killed. And on the third day, be raised to life. You know what he's talking about here? He says, "Peter, you got it right. I am in fact your hero. But you, Peter, need to know what a hero does. You, Peter, need to know the real main ingredient of being a hero." And so he goes on to tell Peter exactly what he's gonna have to do. He's going to have to sacrifice. He's gonna go on into Jerusalem. He's gonna be arrested. He's gonna be beaten and tortured and scourged and mocked and betrayed and spit on and ultimately nailed to a cross. He's going to be sacrificial. And look what Peter does, because Peter does exactly what I think I would do. And in fact, it is what I do when I'm called to sacrifice or acknowledge the power of sacrifice. I tend to resist and think, no, that can't be the right way. There's gotta be an easier way. There's gotta be an easier path to what I'm trying to get to. No, Peter takes him aside, Jesus. He begins to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," that's not what happens to a hero. "This shall never happen to you." And I love this about Peter because he's so raw and he is so real and he is so reflective of how we are. How often are we resistant to the call to be sacrificial? How often do we think there's gotta be a better way than giving up something? There's gotta be a better way than sacrificing. You think about this. It makes no sense to Peter. Sacrifice makes no sense. And in my life, as I want to accomplish things and achieve things, it's amazing how often I convince myself that to sacrifice doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna cost me something. There's gotta be a pain-free way. There's gotta be a comfortable way. There's gotta be a way where nobody gets mad at me. There's gotta be a way where I don't have to surrender or give up anything that makes me comfortable. And Jesus says, no, that's not what a hero does. I've got to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to sacrifice. You think how resistant we are to the nature of sacrifice. What's the worst thing that we can tell ourselves when we're trying to achieve something? Wouldn't the answer be no? Isn't that the hardest thing to tell ourselves? No. Because see, when we sacrifice, we're working towards salvation of something, right? We want to save our marriage. We've got to sacrifice something, but it's hard to tell ourselves no. This is what you're going to have to do to save your marriage. Well, I don't know if I can do all that. I don't know if I can go to counseling. I don't know if I can make all those promises. And I don't know if I can be that disciplined in my loyalty if we want to save our health. Isn't it hard to tell ourselves no? I know the pounds are adding up, but I really don't want to give up sugar. I know I need to exercise, but I don't really want to sacrifice my free time, my Netflix time, my TV time. See, it's hard to tell ourselves no. Sometimes we need to save our finances, but we don't want to say no to anything. We know we need to save, but we don't want to sacrifice. Sometimes there are relationships that need to be saved. They're broken and they're flawed and they're hurtful, and you know it, and you know what it would take to make them right. But the truth is, if you dig down deep, we don't often want to sacrifice. We're like Peter. We say sacrifice cannot be the right path. There's got to be a quick fix. There's got to be a different way. There's got to be a more painless choice. And Jesus says, not so. Not for those of you who want to be heroic. And Jesus gets a little bit irritated. Verse 23, he turns and he looks at Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. You, Peter, are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. See, God is saying, I don't look at heroism the way you do. For me, the main ingredient is sacrifice. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must, here it is, sacrifice, deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, in that order. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Yeah, because you're our hero, and you're the way to salvation, and you're the way to strength, and you're the way to victory, and you're the way to glory. We know that. And Jesus says, yeah, okay. In order to do that, deny yourself. He's talking about sacrifice. And then as if we didn't get it, he punctuates it in verse 25. He says, for whoever wants to save their life. See, everything that needs saving requires sacrifice. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, well, you'll find it. We all want a way other than sacrifice. But that's not the way of Christ. And Jesus, in all of his humanity, not his divinity, but in all of his humanity, he even was drawn to the same temptation. Was it not Jesus who was on the cross and said, there's got to be an easier way? Father God, if there's any other way than this sacrifice, because this is going to cost me something, I'm going to have to give something up. I love, right? And that's not hurting. I love not hurting. I don't want to give that up. If there is an easier way, God, give it to me. Even Jesus understood this sentiment. But Jesus went on through with the plan. He went on through to the cross. He went on through to the crucifixion. Why? Because Jesus knew what exists on the other side of sacrifice. Something we call resurrection. Something we call life. He knew that through the path of sacrifice, there was something even better on the other side. There's always life on the other side of sacrifice. It's never on this side of sacrifice. It's always on the other side. So Jesus willingly engages in the practice of sacrifice. Why? Because he knows on the other side, there's going to be resurrection. There's going to be victory. There's going to be glory. There's going to be that which we are looking for. You know this anyway, don't you? You know. I don't have to tell you. You want to save your marriage? You're going to have to sacrifice. You want to save your finances? You're going to have to sacrifice. You want to save your relationships with your children? You're going to have to sacrifice. There is only one way, and the path is always through living sacrificial. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross daily And I know we want to think there's a different way to do it, but Jesus understands what's on the other side. It is not punitive. If you burst through the other side of sacrifice, what you find is new life. What you find is an explosion of power and joy and peace and serenity and a sense of hope. That's what Jesus was talking about. He says, you want to know what the main ingredient of a hero is? It's sacrifice. It's not supernatural strength. It's not X-ray vision. It is not a golden lasso. And you know what the real deal is? We don't always even recognize it, do we? Because you think about this, Jesus willingly went on through the sacrifice of the cross, knowing that resurrection was going to be on the other side. And what's the first thing that happened? Well, Mary and the women and all the disciples, they go to the tomb and they don't even recognize resurrection. It doesn't look familiar. And do you know that's true for our living as well? They don't recognize what resurrection looks like. They don't recognize it always looks a little bit different. And the reason I say that is because I want to encourage all you moms. There will be times when your children do not recognize what you look like on the other side of sacrifice. They will one day. That's what happened to Mary. That's what happened to the disciples. Eventually they got it, but it took a while. So know this, don't get discouraged. Don't quit just because they don't recognize the sacrifices that you're making. They matter. They're not inconsequential. They are not insignificant. All that time in the car, all those lessons learned, all those errands run, all those meals cooked, all those hugs given, all those books read, all those cold breakfasts left on a plate for an 8-year-old boy. In the moment, they may not recognize it, but one day they will. Jesus showed us how to do this. Then the Apostle Paul comes along and he puts it in the most streetwise terms he could possibly say, and this is it in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. By bodies, he's talking about everything we got. The whole of who we are, offer it as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Old Testament, New Testament, Christ, Paul, they all say the same thing. The main ingredient of a hero, to be sacrificial, to give up something you love for something you love even more. And on the other side, there is something unbelievable waiting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, we've got all kinds, a myriad of relationships between mother and children, some prosperous, some meaningful, some dark, some down, some positive, some negative. Lord, they're all over the map. But at the end of the day, our mothers were sacrificial. So help us, Lord, to stop in our tracks today and acknowledge what really makes a hero, the power and the willingness and the capacity to be sacrificial. And help us to try it. Help us to try it, knowing that simply by being sacrificial, we can be the hero for somebody in our lives. So bless us today. Help us to get our hearts and minds around this powerful truth and learn to live however incrementally, ever so sacrificial. Your son's holy and mighty name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.